We're not going away. We've got a budget. We've got staff. It's cool. But we want to make sure that you can bring us into the future the way that we are bringing helping bring the labor movement into the future with our new phone app, with our new mobile.
Oh, yes, presence, yes. We're a few weeks
website.
Away.
And you can help support that by calling toll-free 877-500-KBOO.
It's especially important now when you the unions are kind of losing a lot of influence and control over and not just their workers, their employees, but also the entire government. KBOO has no corporate influence. It's purely by listeners like you, for listeners like you. So keep supporting us. If you are ready to renew or become a new member, give us a call. Again,
or a gift membership.
This is the end of winter membership drive. Perfect. Yeah, holiday gift.
Hanukkah just started today, right?
Hanukkah was last night, the first candle, and Christmas coming up soon. Kwanzaa, a big holiday season. It's a time of giving, love, and joy. 877-500-5266 or online on our website, kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is pleased to co-sponsor WAMBA, Wednesday, December 9th at 9 p.m. at the Goodfoot in Portland. WAMBA is an African-inspired fusion band featuring improvisation and heavy African percussion breaks. This eight-piece band mixes traditional rhythms from Ghana, West Africa, with Afrobeat, highlife, funk, and jazz styles. Again, that's WAMBA performing live Wednesday, December 9th at 9 p.m. at the Goodfoot, 2845 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO would like to thank the restaurants that donated food for our volunteers today. Bread and Ink Cafe for providing breakfast, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, serving the community breakfast, lunch, and dinner for more than 30 years. Voodoo Donuts, located at 1501 Northeast Davis, for providing donuts, where the magic is in the hole. The Observatory Restaurant and Over and Out, for providing dinner, located at 8115 Southeast Stark, serving dinners, lunches, happy hour, cocktails, desserts, and brunch on the weekends in the Montevilla neighborhood. Mississippi Pizza, for providing dinner, located at 3552 North Mississippi Avenue, open at 7:30 a.m. every day and serving breakfast till 3 p.m. Lunch is served on weekdays after 11 a.m.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Amy Johnson. We are in our winter membership drive. The number to call to support KBOO is 877-500-5266 or donate online at kboo.fm. Tonight's show illustrates the power of radio. Siobhan Tai is a broadcast journalist and a radio program maker based in London. Recently, she was the head of National Prison Radio, a radio station produced by prisoners that airs only within prisons in England and Wales. Siobhan has a dream to bring the voices of offenders and ex-offenders to the airwaves of the general population. I met her in Portland, Oregon, where she had traveled with the support of the Winston Churchill Memorial Trust to find examples of radio programs dealing with issues surrounding incarceration that are already broadcasting to the public. Her trip took her to Sweden, Washington, D.C., Houston, Texas, and Portland, Oregon. We sat down together at Kibu Community Radio Station on October 27th, 2015, at the tail end of her trip. I'm excited to welcome Siobhan to Prison Pipeline so she can share information about National Prison Radio, what she's learned during her fellowship, and what she plans to do when she returns home. Welcome, Siobhan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's begin with National Prison Radio. Could you explain to our listeners what it is?
Yeah, it's a very unique venture. It's the world's first, really. And what it is, it's a radio station made by prisoners for prisoners. And this is the really critical thing. It can only be heard in prisons in England and Wales. And it cannot be heard on the outside, so it cannot be heard in the community. Which is a shame in many ways, because it has won radio awards. So in Britain, we have something called the Sonys. They're the radio equivalent of the Oscars, really. It's even won gold awards when it comes to those radio awards. Why? Because I think it's doing something really special, which is giving a voice to people who don't normally have a voice. And it allows prisoners to hear each other and possibly be motivated by what they hear and to be energized by what they hear and to perhaps turn their life around more positively.
Could you tell us briefly how you became involved with the program and what your role was?
Yeah, so my role for the last 18 months or so has been head of National Prison Radio. And how it came about is I was sitting doing my normal job at the BBC. I was working on a consumer and investigative program at the time. And in my email box popped up an email saying vacancy to be head of prison radio. And it really caught my imagination. Certainly in the UK, very few people know what happens inside a prison. And it's really hard for journalists to get in a prison and to do stories about prison. And I thought to myself, God, that would be a really interesting job. Interesting for those journalistic aspects, but also it kind of fitted in with me because I was looking for something with more responsibility, possibly. It's really changed the way I think because it gave me access, as I said, to a world that I had no access to beforehand. What I was doing was, I was the kind of go-between between the government, which funds the radio station, and the charity that runs the radio station. And I was like the go-between between those two organisations. The government doesn't know anything about a radio station, and the not-for-profit needs to make sure that it's abiding by guidelines that the government has put in place. So I was the go-between, and it meant that my job was really varied, but one of the things I used to make sure that I did was to go into at least one prison a week. It's called the Prison Radio Association, and it makes National Prison Radio, and it's a small team, probably of about 20. Funnily enough, a lot of them come from the BBC, so perhaps they used to freelance at the BBC. Some of them actually had very important staff jobs at the BBC and then left the BBC to work full-time for this organisation because they believed in it so much. So what happens is that the prisoners that make the radio content, they work with a team of professional radio producers. So they make something that's really slick sounding. It's got quite an urban sound to it. It's got quite a smooth sound to it. It's got a young sound, I would say. But the most important thing to take away is it's really professional. It's not amateurish at all. What we're going to play now is 24 hours of National Prison Radio in 2 minutes. This should give you a good sense of its sound, but also all the different programmes that are played out in the space of 24 hours.
24 hours of NPR in 2 minutes.
Porridge.
The first national breakfast show for prisoners.
Monday to Friday morning from 7.
Let's go!
Wow, good morning, good morning. This is Porridge. I am Simon. Wah, I'm me.
And, this is a prison news update with Julian on National Prison Radio. The number of cases of self-harm in prisons in England and Wales has fallen by 14% in 2 years. There were 22,600...
Hello and welcome to today's request show, coming to you from Hindley. I'm here on my own this week, I'm Reese, and I'm going to be reading out all your shout-outs and all the tunes that you've picked, so stay tuned if you've wrote in. And I'll be jumping it off with the first shout-out coming from Hannah in Eastwood Park, saying, big up you lot, you smash it every day. Shout-out to all the Ewing crew, Belinds, Sadios.
National Prison Radio...
Prime time.
I'm Christina and we're at Style Prison.
I've been in prison coming up to 9 months now. I've got 21 months to go. I've got through the last month by turning a negative into a positive.
The six-book challenge.
If it weren't for the six-book challenge, I wouldn't have read at all.
Join the thousands of people from prison in England and Wales taking part in the six-book challenge. Whether you're a new reader or...
NPR Urban. National Prison Radio.
Yep, landing into the second part of the show. I'm Cliff from Seawing in Brixton, obviously, to bug the airwaves again. You're about to hear the exclusive. I got two exclusive tracks for you today. Obviously, you probably hear it on other shows.
Book Club on National Prison Radio.
Bark up with the book.
The windows and doors of the building were boarded up and barbed wire was pinned to the top of the walls. But that wasn't going to keep us out.
So if you can't sleep and you need a bit of company, then join us for some chilled out music and some words to calm your mind.
Dream time.
National Prison Radio.
National Prison Radio, through the night.
Every night from midnight.
24 hours of NPR in 2 minutes.
Wow, excellent. Would you talk us through what we just heard, Siobhan?
So the first thing that you would have heard there is a little piece of something called porridge. Porridge is the breakfast show. The reason why it's called porridge, apart from the very good thing that you should eat to bring down your cholesterol each morning, is that that's the slang term in the UK for being in prison, for doing time. So you're doing porridge. Don't ask me how or where we got that slang term, but that's the word. Also in there, you would have heard some request shows. They're considered to be really important because, as you probably know, people who keep up a connection with their family and friends outside prison, the chances are that they are going to not reoffend as much when they leave prison. In that segment, you would have heard a little bit of a book show. Books are really important. So books are read out on air, but also there are book discussions. And then at the very end, at the tail end, you would have heard, I suppose, a chill out program for the evenings. I guess if you're in your cell, that's the time when your brain can go a little bit crazy and you're thinking about so many different things and it's very hard to sleep. So during that time, there are positive messages and kind of relaxing chill out music really to try and help you go to sleep.
Wow, that's great how it responds to the full spectrum of the experience in prison. And it seems that it's trying to respond to what might be useful for the people that are there.
That's exactly it. The bottom line of this radio station is that it's about reducing reoffending. It's not about making the prisoners who work on the radio station and make the content. It's not about getting them a job in radio when they leave prison or becoming a big radio star. Having said that, I do know people who've successfully carved out a media career, but it's not really about that. It's about informing people in prison about making the time, the experience, as positive as you can. I know that's really difficult, but to make it as positive as you can. And when you leave, make a plan so that life is more positive again and purposeful and you stop this cycle of crime. Much easier said than done, but, you know, a radio station is a great way of giving those positive messages and making people feel less alone. I mean, that's how it started in the first place. There was a feeling that there was a lot of self-harm going on in prisons, and that's because people were feeling really isolated.
And the programs that are more aimed at reducing recidivism, are they people telling personal stories?
There's lots of personal testimony, because if you hear somebody else's story, you can relate to it, can't you? Especially if they describe it and tell it in a very compelling way. So if you've got a personal testimony, it's relatable, you can learn from it. Perhaps you can think about doing something that that person did to make things a little bit better. But there's also advice, and there's some advice about where to go for extra help, for more help. I mean, we tackle really hard subjects. So very recently, we made a full set of programs about domestic violence. So if you're somebody in prison because you've beaten up your partner, what do you do when you feel those emotions of anger and frustration? You know, what do you do with them? How do you feel? And also during those reports, we spoke to women who had been beaten up, who had been affected. And it was really important for the men to hear that point of view, that there is a consequence if you punch someone, kick somebody, hurt somebody, emotionally abuse them. We didn't bring together somebody who suffered from domestic abuse with somebody who's done it, but we got the personal testimonies of the victims who were on the outside. So from a production point of view, that was quite easy to get. But it was just very, very important to get that experience on air because it needed to be heard. That's the reality of beating somebody up.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I can really see the power from that example of what the radio station is able to do for the people that are there and to heal.
And another example, which is really, really important. I don't know whether you have these substances in America, but in the UK, we've got something called legal highs, which are drugs, but they're still legal. I don't know the ins and outs of it, to be honest, the law, but people are taking these things in prison and they're making people really ill because they're very, very, very strong. And people have suffered strokes as a consequence of taking them. I think there might have been a few fatalities. There's certainly been terrible aggression in prisons because of taking these legal highs, and there's been self-harm. So we did a whole selection of reports about the consequences of taking these legal highs, what could happen to you.
What surprised you most when you started working with this program, and which stories would you most wish that the public could hear?
Well, every time I used to go into a prison, I was astounded at how normal it was. Once you're in there, it's actually quite normal. And what used to intrigue me were the people who were coping with it pretty well, actually. They were deciding, this is going to be a time for me to change things around. I'm going to make the most of every opportunity available. I'm going to get myself educated. I'm going to get myself clean. I'm going to try and sort my head out, and I've got the space to do it. And I was really impressed by those people. I was really impressed by the stuff that was going on as well in terms of the education that was available, but also certainly in the UK, we have work in prisons. People can work and they can earn a salary. So for instance, one prisoner's got a massive printing press. And I remember hearing one guy saying, you know, I'm really proud, you know, this is really important to me. And I like to create these things and make sure that everything's absolutely perfect before this printing goes off back into the community. And I just thought, you know, there's so much positive stuff going on behind these walls that nobody knows about. I think bonds need to be created between what happens behind walls and the community. And if they are, maybe we wouldn't be so afraid of people who've done wrong. And maybe we can give them another chance. And the other thing, there are lots of reasons why stuff happens. And bad stuff happens to good people. And we all make mistakes. And I think even President Obama, when he was in a prison this summer, said, you know, we all make mistakes. Also, I'm sure loads of people say this when it comes to prison, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. I mean, that could have been me. Especially if I'm into thrill seeking and I want to make my Friday and Saturday night a little bit more exciting.
I definitely agree with this point that you're making. I wondered, how many prisons is it broadcast in, and is there recording that happens in all of the prisons, or is there one that...
So how it works is the main studio is in a prison in South London, an area called Brixton. Brixton reminds me a little bit of Oregon, actually. It was a poor, poor district, and now has become so gentrified that the houses now cost £1 million when they used to cost very little. But it's super cool in Brixton. But anyway, there's a prison there, and that's where the main studio base is. And then there's a couple of other prisons that make National Prison content. And then there's a women's prison up near Manchester, up in the north of England. The radio station goes into virtually every prison in England and Wales. And we do have strict guidelines about who can be involved in making prison radio. They need to prove that they want to turn things around, that they want to make things better for themselves. And I suppose they need to prove genuine remorse for what has been and what has happened. The prisoners who are making the radio programs, they're not doing it for fun. It's not a hobby. this is their job in the same way as somebody is going to work in the laundry or work at the printing press that I told you about.
You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. So would you tell me when you applied for the grant for your Winston Churchill Fellowship that you're working on now and how you decided where you would be going?
So what happened was when I was in the Post, the head of prison radio job, I came across this advert for something called the Winston Churchill Memorial Trust. And funnily enough, I had applied for it before for quite a number of years, but I wasn't successful. But this time, I could just feel that it was all kind of coming together. The pitch was really sharp. It was pin sharp. And I think that's what helped. It also helped that my idea fitted in really well to one of the categories. They have a category in prison reform. So working on this radio station that I was so impressed by, I kept on thinking, I really wish that the public could hear some of this stuff. And would it help the public be more informed if they could hear some of National Prison Radio? Because in Britain, we don't have a prison radio programme that you can hear on the outside or on the BBC. We have legal programmes or law programmes, but they're very much geared up towards legal professionals who discuss contentious cases, for instance, in the courts. And I just thought I'd really like to go to places where they're making radio programmes or ex-offenders are making radio programmes, possibly including the voice of offenders. And these are programmes that can be heard on the outside. And what are they achieving? Does it help people become more informed about custodial issues? Or is it actually way too risky to even manage and get involved with because we have to think about victim issues and reputational issues? So I came up with four places to go to: Sweden, Stockholm, where young offenders make programmes, radio programmes, and that's heard on a community radio station just outside Stockholm. Then Washington, D.C., where there's a literacy programme happening, but I know the CEO of that charity wants to get involved in radio. And also I really wanted to explore this American concept called returning citizens. Washington, D.C. uses the term returning citizens for people who are leaving prison. And that made me really think about a relationship. It implies a relationship between the ex-offender and the community. Mm. And I think for a successful radio programme, you need a relationship between your programme and your audience. So that's the way I kind of got around that one. Then in Texas, in Houston, there's something called the Prison Radio Show. And that does some fantastic stuff in the sense of they broadcast messages to people on death row. And then I came across a program in Eugene, Oregon, called the Concertina Wire. The person who does that program has got a very interesting definition of being locked up. She's not just concerned about people who are locked up physically behind bars, but also people who are locked up in other ways. Maybe they're free in the community, but they're not free because perhaps they're in a troubled relationship or they cut themselves or stuff like that. So they're locked in to a habit that's destructive. I'm speaking to loads of different people about, is this of benefit and what are the risks? And can we manage the risks?
Are there any highlights or messages you've already learned from the trip?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots and I'm processing it at the moment. And every night I write something on my blog as a way to kind of think about these issues. I'm very worried about victims. They're always at the front of my mind. And what I would really hate to do is make a victim's pain worse by hearing their offender on the radio, especially if they heard it just by surprise. I just worry about that. I'm sure it can be managed. And I have spoken to some victims about this. And when I was in Houston, I came across a group of remarkable, remarkable people. People who work for an organization called Journey of Hope, which wants to abolish the death penalty. But many of them have been victims of the most horrendous crimes. And they haven't just forgiven, but they've managed to overturn their offender's death penalty. And I wanted to use the opportunity to speak to them about this precise issue. If they heard their offender on air, what would they think? And if somebody has the right to talk about these things, they have the right to talk about these things, considering what they've been through. Believe it or not, they said, we need to learn from these people because normally they're a victim themselves. So they were very interesting. And also the person in Eugene that I interviewed, she was very clear, she's the presenter of the programme, she was very, very clear that the people that come onto her programme, they must not glamorise or talk about their crime, actually. There are other things to talk about, such as settling back into the community, how the community responds to you, but in no way should anyone ever use her radio show as a platform to boast about what they did or to glamorise what they did, which I think is really, really important.
Now that you're at the tail end of your trip, what are your thoughts about what you might do and what's the timeline for that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to think about all of this now. Keeping this blog is really useful and helpful. I go back to work, to my proper job, working as a BBC reporter and producer next week. I have obligations around that. You know, that's going to be my full-time job. And on top of that, I'm hoping that a documentary idea will come off. I've got some commissions, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, for one of these law programmes that I've spoken about on the BBC. They might take a couple of my reports. I want to write an article for a couple of papers in the UK because we have something coming up called Prison Week in November. That's a kind of multi-faith initiative. This is a kind of campaigning week that they have. So I'll write for a couple of newspapers about that, hopefully. And then the big idea is to create a programme, a radio programme that you can hear on the public airwaves about custodial issues. That's not going to happen tomorrow. This will probably take some time, if it happens at all, but we've got to start somewhere, huh?
You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. If you'd like to get in touch with Siobhan Tai, email kbooppc@gmail.com and I will forward your message to her. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thank you to my guest, Siobhan Tai, and to our engineers. Stay tuned to hear how you can support KBOO.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. We're back here in the Winter Membership Drive Central. This is Ken. I'm here with my friend Conch.
Hello.
And you just heard Amy Johnson in Prison Pipeline. Her guest was Siobhan Tai. Wonderful program. I mean, Prison Pipeline is, but also Siobhan Tai's program, Conch, as part of a BBC program, or it's certainly related in Great Britain, National Prison Radio. And Amy was telling me actually at the break that it's a very successful. Prisoners, they get on the radio. They have that skill when they leave. Not that there's much skill involved, at least not when it comes to me. But anyway, we're asking you to become a member if you're not already a member, or renew your membership so you can continue listening to great programs like Labor Radio, which we heard at 6, and then Prison Pipeline at 6:30 every Monday night. 877-500-5266 is the number.
You know, Ken, one of the things that is important about cable, you were listening to the guest talking about having a radio program, having documentaries. You know, the prison industrial complex is not an issue that's restricted to this 1.5 hour on Monday evenings. It's you hear it on Democracy Now. You hear it on other cable programs. You hear it on my program that I've done with Jen Chavez called The Film Show. We've had documentarian Brian Lindstrom on talking about his documentary Mothering Inside. And after that aired, we got this wonderful, wonderful letter from the women at Coffee Creek Correctional Center talking about the program that was so important to them, that was bringing their children in to be with them while they were serving their sentences at Coffee Creek, and how important this was to keeping families together. So, you know, this is the kind of outreach, this is the kind of connection that goes on between communities that is so incredibly important where KBOO is. And occasionally now you hear another media outlet that picks up on something that comes around that KBOO has done first. But, you know, it may not have come around if KBOO didn't do it first. So you would do great to support KBOO and keep that material, you know, out there, you know, really just pushing it more and more so that other media outlets will pick it up at some point. And supporting KBOO is an incredibly cost-intensive thing. You can support it by calling toll-free 877-500-KBOO. You know, if you don't want to talk to anybody, go online at kboo.fm. There's a little jar that says Donate Today, and you can find out how to maybe get thank you gifts, things like that. Or you can come in at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and have a cup of coffee, talk with the folks, look through the thank you gifts, and decide what you would like. But the best thing is to talk to one of our great volunteers back here by calling toll-free 877-500-5266.
I would recommend calling them. I mean, I'm a bit of an introvert myself, and I would tend to go online, but in this case, I think I would call because there's a lot of options. You can go with become a sustaining member at $5 a month, $10 a month. We could take that out of credit card, debit card, automated monthly bank account deduction. There's premiums, there's gifts available. If you do come down and you want to give in person or get a tour of the studio, you can do that. In fact, you might hear a little tune-up in the background here. There's live music coming in. Band's actually warming up right now. They're coming in for a different nature. They'll be on from 8 to 11 tonight. So we're going to return. We'll actually go to Hard Knock Radio at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, though, please, this is our last day of the winter membership drive. No better time to become a member or renew your membership at 877.
It's our final lap of
the this
year.
Is it, and we're very close to the goal. Conch, you want to give them the numbers and the website?
Yes, it's toll-free 877-500-KBOO. If you are a first-time or a member who is increasing your pledge, it's 2-to-1. I mean, sorry, 1-to-1. It's 100% match during the month of December. So don't delay. Call toll-free 877-500-KBOO.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of BikeCraft, Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th, at Bike Farm in Portland. BikeCraft features handmade gifts that support bike culture as well as food, drink, and music. Again, that's BikeCraft, Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th, from 11 to 6 both days at Bike Farm, 1810 Northeast 1st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at cable.fm on the right side of the homepage.